Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You know how everything seems like a good idea after you've had a few? Yeah, that's this show. Riding in my car, and I'm listening to the radio. It's time for Dukes and Bell.
Oh, someone told me it's the Black Beverly Hills. Is that true?
Driving in Atlanta just got a whole lot more bearable.
Welcome to the party, pal.
Hi, everybody. Carl Dukes and Mike Bell. The names that mean goodness.
Say my name, you know who I am.
Carl Dukes.
I drink, and I know things.
Oh, don't question my authority, thanks.
King Kong ain't got on me.
Sometimes you just got to call somebody, and I'm not ashamed to say it. You know,
And Mike Bell.
I'm funny how? I mean, funny like I'm a clown. I amuse you.
Hope you guess my name.
Bring a pitcher of beer every 7 minutes till somebody passes out. And then bring one every 10 minutes, right?
Get ready for the best 5 hours of your life.
Fat, drunk, and stupid is no way to go through life, sir.
Don't believe me, just watch.
This is Dukes and Bell.
You know what? Why don't we start doing the stuff that other guys have done on other radio shows around the country?
No.
On Sports Radio 92.9, The Game.
Atlanta, what is going on? It's Friday. Oh, we're so happy it's Friday.
Giddy up.
Hey, man, we'd love to hear from you guys. Get involved, as always, at 404-741-0929 on our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. We start off every day and every hour by saying, hey, man, it is good to have you listening. Mike Bell, I got to be honest, watching these games last night, as we'll get ready for the Falcons-Jets tonight, right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Guys, coverage beginning at 5:30. As Mike Conte and Hugh Douglas will be in here during the pregame show. But this Cam Kelvin Benjamin thing, man.
How weird was that?
It was crazy. And now, you know, I think most people have seen the footage. But yesterday at the end of the show, Mike was like, dude, you got to see this picture. And it was a still photo of Cam Newton looking at Kelvin Benjamin, who's now with the Buffalo Bills. Carolina played, obviously, the Bills last night in the preseason. Ironically, Benjamin had a touchdown. But he's looking at him like, what'd you say? And so you see this steal, but then go watch the video if you haven't seen it. And this all stems back to Kelvin Benjamin basically saying, I never should have been drafted by Carolina, and Cam Newton's a bum.
In essence, even kind of questioning his leadership and intelligence.
He really did. So if you missed the video, Cam, in a very lighthearted way, makes his way over to Benjamin. This is prior to anybody really being in the stadium, guys. This is guys just on the field kind of getting their warm-up.
But there were media members that had their cameras out, so that's how you got the video.
Yeah, and Cam walks over and is like, and all of a sudden you see things get serious. And so at that point, Cam and Benjamin are talking and speaking to each other. We don't know what was said, but I want you to hear Benjamin talk about what that conversation was about after the game.
Tried to walk away from him a few times.
Yeah, just moving on from him.
He didn't want to get into it.
So. Yeah.
What was he trying to say to you?
He didn't know. I wasn't even trying to listen.
Yeah, weird, man. And two things I took from it, Carl. And I don't know how you saw it. Like almost like Cam, maybe he felt he had to go over and get in his face in some way, shape, or form. But it didn't look like his heart was in it necessarily. The body language is very peculiar. He initially, Kelvin Benjamin, was sitting there talking to his former teammate, Thomas Davis. Obviously, Georgia player who's banged up again, but is with the team up there for the road trip. And then Cam comes over, and I'm not sure what's going on, but, yeah, very, very strange set of circumstances.
It really was. It's weird. A lot of guys hit us up last night, and they were like, Dukes and Bell, did you guys see this video? I saw the steal because you had it out, right. You had posted it, but I hadn't seen the video until I saw the video, and then I was like, wow. Ultimately, Cam doesn't do anything. Nobody swings on anybody. Cam just basically brushes him off, kind of like, all right, forget you then, and runs off the field and, you know, did not speak about it last night. But it's one of the weirdest things that we've seen in a while. Let me say this, though. Cam Newton, thank you for being a man. Thank you for going over and speaking or attempting to speak in Benjamin's face, right, like Benjamin should have done with you, instead of being a coward and trying to say what he said through the media. And then when it came crunch time yesterday, not wanting to speak. Mike, this is what we talk about all the time. And millennials, we're not taking shots at you, but step up and be a man. If I don't like you, Tell me to my face.
Don't know this he said, she said, or running behind Twitter and all that other stuff. It is kind of strange how things do play out these days. But, yeah, not, to be continued. I don't know where it got sideways with those guys. And or maybe Kelvin Benjamin just completely out of his mind.
Maybe he is.
You know, because he talked about some family issues he had when he was there and stuff he was dealing with. There was a lot of stuff in a very rambling comment. That's how this whole thing started, talking to the media a couple days back. And but he's not backing off it either. You know, it got weird between the two. Regardless, some of the things I saw last night, just off the top of my head, how about Antonio Callaway? Callaway last night, now again, he's a guy who's probably going to miss some games now for the league's, the commissioner's, the grand poobah rules of whatever they call that stuff, getting busted for weed. Now he's not at his day in court yet, but Callaway, who failed the drug test before the combine, is probably going to get suspended at some point. He goes off last night for the Browns against the Giants, you know, albeit preseason.
Well, and remember, in my opinion, here's a guy that's certainly underachieved in college, right?
Tremendous skill set, just has a 2-cent brain, it seems like, at times.
And so, you know, you see him make plays last night. And by the way, what'd you think of the Browns? I mean, people were saying, all right, you know, you see Baker Mayfield throw a touchdown, making some plays. I didn't think the Browns were bad. I do think a guy hit me up and said, Dukes, what's up with Nick Chubb? Okay, I get it. We want Chubb to do well. We're cheering for him.
In Chubb's defense, he was behind, I guess, their second or third string offense. I'm not even sure what that was that he was behind. He was trying to get to the outside and with some limited results, needless to say. But watch that. I was flipping around and catching everything last night, those little capsules they do on NFL Network. You see the job, kind of a patchwork offensive line from the Buccaneers did last night.
I did.
Now, again, we understand the caveat is take it all with a grain of salt, but it is interesting to see, you know, teams that are struggling right now with depth and issues stepping up, and that was kind of interesting. The Buccaneers maybe found their combination at center and guard.
Well, remember, I mean, Jameis played. He was 11 of 13 for 100 yards last night. Ryan Fitzpatrick got some snaps, but Ryan Griffin was the guy that got a majority of the snaps last night. He throws a touchdown, but you're right. I mean, it's little things, and I think this is the time that you're going to see teams tinker. It's why I'm paying attention tonight to the Falcons and why these preseason games are interesting, not from the standpoint of who's going to make the team. I really think that this is a time, Mike, if you want to tinker and do some different things, as we've talked about up front with our offensive line, who's going to win that battle at right guard? And we're going to talk more about that, guys, as we get ready for tonight's preseason game. But I think that was interesting. Also last night, you know, the Eagles lose and everybody's losing their mind. It's a preseason game. Steelers look good. But the Eagles only scored 14 points last night, and everybody's thinking, okay, here's a team that won the Super Bowl. What happened? What's going on? Remember, Joshua Dobbs is on that Steeler football team, man. And remember, they drafted him a couple of years ago now. I think it's his second season.
Right.
But Dobbs looked pretty good to me last night. 9 of 13 for 91 yards and a touchdown.
Chose a frozen rope for a touchdown in the back of the end zone. Yeah, man, it was some fun things. It was just so cool to see football, albeit preseason, back in the mix. I was watching the Good Morning Football on NFL Network today and catching some of the highlights of everything that went down. So, again, we get to see what we've got tonight with some of our rookies. I mean, maybe one series for the starters. If it's three and out, maybe we get two, but we'll certainly be focused on, you know, Deidre Sinnott, Isaiah Oliver, you know, some of these new pieces out there. And obviously everybody wants to see what Calvin Ridley's all about. And he'll be catching passes from Schaub and the kid from Virginia. That'll be the third string.
Yeah. And I think Dan Quinn said, you know, obviously that both Matt Schaub and Matt Ryan are going to see time. And then it's going to be up to the backups there. Probably, I think, late in the second quarter. We'll see how much time it actually is. It is Dukes and Bell, guys. If you've not done it, like us on Facebook at 929 The Game. Hey, make sure you follow us across all social media platforms. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'em Up, see Dukes, and follow this radio show at Dukes and Bell 929. Now, you got to talk about this tweet that you put out there and a guy sent to us, because we met a guy last week at Stars and Strikes up in Buford. And he was saying, how do I do some voice work?
Yeah, the guy had a good set of pipes, and he wants to get in the business. I said, well, you know, if you want to have some fun, put a little video together, and we'll see what we can do for it. Well, anyway, go to GemVox22, and I retweeted it. It's at Mike Bell, ATL. He did his own little Hey Man Ale commercial, which is kind of cool. So go check it out, man. Jonathan Edwards is the guy, and he took some time to put it together for us. So it's kind of a nice little Hey Man Ale, like 20-second spot. And by the way, while we're speaking of beer, just got the word minutes ago from Oconee Brewing Company.
Yeah, man.
This is from their tweet. Hey, Atlanta friends, while you're picking up snacks to pack in the kiddos' lunchbox next week, steer the buggy over to the Growler Shop inside the Peachtree Road Kroger. Dukes and Bell Hey Man Blonde Ale is on draft. So, again, we won't have it in cans until Labor Day, but for guys who want a real man's beer, and again, Carl, you know, I like the way we're marketing this now. Maybe you can't handle a Hey Man Ale. But anyway, it's 3871 Peachtree. Kroger's got this Growler Shop, which I was not aware of. That is awesome. So A growler, for those who are not familiar, that's a large, what's that, 2 quarts? It's a big glass bottle.
Yeah, can I get mine refilled?
Yeah, and then you can bring it back and get some more. But anyway, the beer will be in your favorite package stores by Labor Day, but thanks to Oconee Brewing for getting it out there, at least at Kroger, get some on draft.
You know, this is not just a radio show. This is a movement.
That's what a guy told us. No, a guy's not an idiot either.
No, he's not.
Sharp dude, actually.
I went home and used that last night, and Trent said, you guys should use that. You know,
I was talking to a guy who works for an ad agency. This is yesterday. And it's funny, we had a conversation. I think we do a good job of saying it almost every week here on Dukes and Bell, but we can't do it without you. We're having another great year, and we just saw some numbers from our boss. We can't talk about ratings because we get in trouble, but let's just say that there are stations around town, Carl, where every day one of their listeners dies. And there's a station like ours where every day we pick up more people, younger people, and that's what sustains the growth, and we can do cool things like the beer. So we're having a great month, and thanks again, guys.
Hey, man, we've got a lot to get to this afternoon. Ditto to what Mike said. I could go on and on, but it's not in my nature to brag about these things. I don't like to talk about this show and how well it's doing. I won't do it, okay? I don't care how much you guys ask me to talk about this show and the success and all the great things that are happening, but I refuse to go there. Now, with that said, Braves have a big series starting tonight. First time we, as in the home crowd, gets a chance to see the newest addition, Mike, to our starting pitching rotation.
Right.
Gausman's on the hill tonight. And, you know, I heard Rick Kamla say this as they ended the show there in Twin Peaks with Randy McMichael. We need a good start from him tonight. I think it's a given at this point with the way things have played out over the last few days with, you know, Anibal Sanchez. You saw Freed get hit with a comebacker. I'd love to see Gausman go on the hill tonight and you know, of course, throw a complete game. I don't know if that'll happen, but just have a really good outing, give us a shot to win, and give us a chance. I don't want to see him run, you know, two and two-thirds, and all of a sudden now we're going to the bullpen. I'd like to see him have a really good outing tonight.
It is Freddy Peralta, the right-handed pitcher for the Brewers. So I guess that means we're going to see Ender Inciarte, because obviously you're not going to have righty on righty with the dude Duvall we picked up from the Reds. So, again, Ender will be in the mix, so that would put Acuna in left field tonight. But looking forward to it. And, again, the weather, I know we fingers crossed, because you just never know what you're going to get. But the latest thing I just looked at from the Weather Channel says just spotty, isolated thunderstorms, not as bad as yesterday. So we should be, knock wood, okay, other than that Indian burial ground that SunTrust sits on, which obviously creates a lot of strange weather patterns.
Well, it seemed like it rained, at least for a short period of time, every home game last year.
Right.
Right, didn't it? I mean,
well, I got tickets tonight, so please.
Oh, I don't think
Mother Nature.
Yeah, I don't think I don't. Hold on.
Yeah, stick your thing.
Well,
roll down the window and stick your thumb out.
Remember, I went to go to the Cup Series, right, and you were like, "Oh, it's beautiful outside."
No, as soon as you got there,
we got rained out. So
you were like the Bishop in Caddyshack. The Lord wouldn't ruin the best round of my life.
So yeah, hopefully it holds off tonight. And plus, it is it's Chipper, right? Chipper night.
I believe it's like the Cooperstown Memorial Plaque. Like what you see? I think the first 20,000 fans through the turnstiles.
Now, where would you put that in the crib? Where are you gonna put that?
It will go right next to my little mini Falcon helmet, and right next to my Burt Reynolds autographed Florida State mini helmet.
Okay, all right, just asking. Because, you know,
I mean, next to, again, if you want to, my little Lawrence Taylor autographed mini helmet. I mean, I'd put it all right there. It would be next to my.
Is it out on display?
It would be near my Harry Carey bobblehead. Yeah, I'll put it up there on I'm allowed one little bookshelf that I've got my stuff in the living room.
Okay, I'm just asking, man. Yeah.
I mean, it's a condo. I don't have like the man cave like you do, bro.
Well, I was asking. That's why I'm asking. I'm like, where are you going to put it? Are you going to be allowed to put this out?
Yes. Well, Becky's a big baseball fan, so she approves of this message.
All right, man. Let's give you guys a chance to win some money right now.
Now it's time to reveal our national signing bonus code word. The code word is
Edge. E-D-G-E. Don't push me, because I'm close to the edge. All you got to do is text it, 72881, 72881. Text it right now. Edge is the word, guys. Message and data rates do apply.
The Edge Monday Night Matchup with Ron Jaworski. Edge, E-D-G-E. That's Edge to 72881. We'll get you up to speed on the leaderboard out there in Bellerive as more low scores are coming your way in the PGA Championship.
And we've got some headlines, including Dan Quinn and what he's looking for tonight as the Falcons' first preseason game against the Jets. You'll listen to it right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. I don't like to talk about this show and how well it's doing. I won't do it, okay? I don't care how much you guys ask me to talk about this show and the success and all the great things that are happening, but I refuse to go there. Now, with that said,
not going to do it. Wouldn't be prudent at this juncture.
Sometimes people call a radio station randomly, and I don't even know if they realize what number they're dialing. So one of our secret lines was ringing, and I told Craig, I said, Craig, somebody's calling it. And more times than not, it's our boss, to be honest with you.
Matter of fact, 99% of the time it's our boss.
Yeah, and so I said, you know, and that's what I thought, because I thought he might have said something about our opening monologue. Who knows? Anyways, I said, Craig, the phone's ringing. And so Craig picks up the phone, and I didn't think 2 cents about it. And all of a sudden, Mike and I are in here talking about our Hey Man L, because we're so happy that you can go get it now at Kroger, get the growler at least. And Craig, I said, well, I'm thinking it was our boss, Double X. I said, well, what'd he say? Craig says, no, it was an older woman asking if this was the post office in Noonan. So it is not the post office in Noonan, but we understand. You know, sometimes, Mike, you just dial a number. And you remember the old days you got wrong numbers all the time?
There's a legendary radio bit, a guy that I knew down in South Florida named Phil Henry, where a lady called in thinking it was the bank. And he goes, hold on 1 second, man. And he has he's a guy who used to have all the sound effects. So he's hold on, man, let's just get a pen. And he had the sound effects of a car crash and glass breaking. And he's like, oh, my God, I'm pinned under my desk. I can't feel my legs now. No, what was the number on that Keogh account? Anyway.
And she bought it.
Oh, she bought it. She keeps going. Just she bought it right through.
Hey, man, we got some headlines coming up for you. Also, for those who missed Jeff Centell yesterday from Dog Nation, we're going to replay Jeff because he said some interesting things about Zeus. Zeus is Zamir White.
And another running back, which, you know, we've kind of got lost in the shuffle discussing as far as Georgia's backfield.
Yeah, it is Dalvin Cook's brother who has got a lot of people at Georgia going, who's this again now? He wasn't the number one back coming out. That was Zamir. But this was a kid that could have gone anywhere he wanted to as well. Mike, and I was saying, why didn't he stay in the Florida, you know, with Florida State where his brother went, or maybe Florida? Either way, when, you know, Jimbo decides to take the job at Texas A&M, I think this is a young man that said, all right, I'm looking at what George is doing. They're racking up all these recruits. I think I want to go play somewhere and make my own identity. So he is a guy that has a lot of people going wild right now. We'll see how he's used. Again, you still got Swift. You got Holyfield in the backfield. You got all these guys that we're looking at this season going, oh, how are we going to fill the shoes of Sony Michel and Nick Chubb? By the way, Chubb playing with the Browns last night. But, you know, Mike, I think they're capable.
So we'll be talking plenty, guys, about Georgia, the Dog Report, coming up at 4. We have a short edition today of the program. 5:30, Falcons pregame begins. They're taking on the Jets. And it's also a game, in addition to listening to Wes Drewham and Dave Archer, of course, right here on the game, I think it's what UPN 69 has it, and the NFL Network is picking up the feed. So
okay.
NFL Network
okay.
will have us, if you're in a bar or you're trying to find it, you know, if you're like me, you're just going to DVR it and watch it in the morning, but it's on NFL Network tonight as well.
All right, cool, man. Hey, it is Dukes and Bell. Find us, guys, and follow us across all social media platforms. Craig, let's hit some headlines.
Strap in, youngins.
Hitting the headlines with Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, before we get to the Falcons, yesterday you said to me that guys were chirping about this course being too easy. Maybe they're right. If you've not seen what's happened today, we had two guys in Brooks Koepka and Charles Schwartzel shoot major records, both guys shooting 63s.
Now, we've seen 63s before in majors. It's no guarantee you're going to win. Johnny Miller famously doing it in 1973 at the U.S. Open at Oakmont. Jack Nicklaus did it in 80. Guys like, of course, Greg Norman did it, only to lose the Open because that's what he does. And even Nick Price shot a 63 and didn't win. So it doesn't guarantee you winning a major, but it does certainly steer you in the right direction. Brooks Koepka, back-to-back U.S. Open champion, good friends with Dustin Johnson. Right now, Gary Woodland, 10-under. Kisner, 9-under. Koepka, we just talked about, at 8-under. And then Dustin Johnson, Charles Schwartzel at 8 and 7-under. So there's a lot of big names, and we're still waiting to see some of the other guys like Francesco Molinari, who just won the British Open, make a run today. So looks like conditions are ripe there at Bellevue for more scoring.
Yeah, Jason Day, he just teed off. He's at 3-under. But if he's able to shoot, he shot a 67 yesterday. If he shoots a 64 or 63, he'll be right in the mix. Obviously, we're looking to see what Ricky Fowler does as well, is he teed off about 20 minutes ago.
He's one over so far, so he drops the stroke to 4-under after going 5-under yesterday.
All right, so there you go. And Ricky yesterday, yeah, shot a 65. I don't know if the course is easy or not, but these guys are making it look that way. When you start to see records being broken, not by one guy, but by multiples, it starts to make you wonder. We'll see how this thing plays out over the weekend. Let's get to Coach Quinn knowing what he's looking for tonight in the first preseason game for our Falcons.
I want to make sure that we make the ball the priority. It's such a big emphasis for us. And then past that, we are really looking to see, you know, where our our CT grades come out on some of the new players, and can they play in a style and fashion that we really want to.
All right, man, let's go play in a style and a fashion that we want to play with.
This is a football. Do not drop the football. Now, we've got to get more turnovers on the other side. Certainly, that's something we talked about yesterday. We talked about Robert Alford and Desmond Trufant. It's time for these guys to go get the ball, man. Let's get some short fields and get some turnovers for this team. That's one thing that was lacking last year.
No doubt about it. Coach Quinn also talking about the rookies, and you're going to see a lot of rookies. Duh.
One of the things that we're really committed to is playing, you know, the rookies and the first-year guys, and I think if you look back on our history, our play time for the preseason would show that. It's such an important time to evaluate. We wouldn't put them in if we didn't think they'd earned some play time here during mini camps and training camp to get ready. So we're totally committed to playing those guys and seeing what they look like.
All right, guys, again, pregame at 5:30, kickoff at 7:30. Deion Jones talking about preparing for the preseason. Here's the maturity and the growth in a guy like Deion Jones, who was thrown into the fire the year he was drafted, and I think has really become one of the top three guys at his position at linebacker in this league. But he talks about the preparation.
I still prepare like it's a game. Still go through my same routine just to make sure that I'm on everything for when the season starts. There's nothing new. And I'm good with my timing and making sure everything still runs and the way it's supposed to.
All right, Mike Bell, give me one thing that you are looking for tonight.
I want to see what Ito Shepard's all about, because if both our running backs, Devontae Freeman and Tevin Coleman, have a monster year, I know Thomas says.
Did you say Smith or Shepard?
What did I say, Ito Shepard?
I think I'm not. I kind of heard Shepard.
No, you got me right, because it's Ito v. Lito Shepard, and that's a whole other, that's a different dude and a different team. But Ito Smith is a guy from Southern Mississippi, is a dude we didn't get to see all that much of because he had a little nagging injury to start camp. But based on what we saw on film, I mean, he looks like a water bug. He looks a little bit like Free, maybe even a little speedier. But is he a guy that if you had to, and I know I'm getting way ahead of myself, if you had to maybe move on from Tevin Coleman because it just wouldn't be enough money, Can this guy step up to be a viable, you know, new piece at running back?
It's a good point, and that's a problem we might have to deal with after the season's over. By the way, I don't know if we said Dalvin Cook's brother. His name is James. James Cook is the kid at Georgia, if we didn't say it. But back to the Falcons, the one thing you're looking for, 404-741-0929, text us, let us know as the preseason gets underway. I would tell you again, and this is going to be hard for us to evaluate because, again, we're not breaking down the film play to play, but who has a better game at that right guard? You know, who does someone separate themselves in the amount of time that they're playing tonight? Or is this a thing where Dan Quinn says, listen, we're going to give each one of you guys over the course of these four games, 30 snaps, and whoever plays better is going to win? I don't know if that's the case, Mike, but that's something that I'm watching because I think that is one of the big things for us.
You know, one of the things also, I know that Randy was talking about it. Randall was on today with Rick. And we're saying is, you know, can Hardy win the kick return job?
Randy, Mike.
You know, can Justin Hardy, I mean, we've always thought the guy was a good fit for it. He did it at times at East Carolina. And for some reason, he just never won the approval of Coach Armstrong to be that guy back there. So let's see what he can do, because that might be the way he makes his football team. We've got 14 wide receivers on the roster right now.
Yeah. One thing you're looking for, all right? That's what we're asking. And that may be our poll question today.
You know, playmaking on special teams. You know, Devin Hester was – we got spoiled with him a few years back. Yeah. And then we just – and just good decision-making on special teams, too. And that also starts in preseason.
Okay, man. We'll put that poll question up, and we'll give you a couple of choices. Vision Computer, by the way, average on hold time, 15 seconds. All right, guys. Hey, in other news, we mentioned the Braves. They lose to the Nationals yesterday on Facebook. Boo. But
buy that stuff getting used to.
Yeah, I just but tonight it's the Milwaukee Brewers, man, and the Brewers come in. They're a good club, and if you've not been paying attention all season long, this is a team that you know, we may see down the road, Mike, if the playoffs play out, depending on how the wild card situation pans out. But if you look at the standings right now, the Phillies still in first place, a game in front of our Braves, and I'm going to tell you what the Phillies did today here in just a second. But as far as Milwaukee, they are two behind the Cubs right now in the Central Division at 66-52.
So we're a little bit behind them percentage point-wise for that wild card, that first wild card spot. We still want to win the division, obviously. But as we mentioned, it's Kevin Gausman from the Orioles, now a Brave, against Freddie Peralta. So we'll see what we can do, and hopefully the weather will be right tonight. And again, looking to see Ender Inciarte starting, because you got a right-hander pitching.
All right, the Phillies, as I tweeted out, are trying to make it happen. They realize the Braves are not going anywhere. And I think that, Mike, the move they made today, Justin Bour, They trade to get Justin Bour, who's a first baseman. They get him for cash from the Marlins and a minor league pitcher. But as our buddy Grant McCauley points out, Bour is a Braves killer. You look at his numbers, 302 he hits and has hit against the Braves. His OPS, which is slugging and on base, is over 1,000. Against the Braves, he's got 13 home runs and 159 at-bats. Point is, he's had a lot of success against Braves pitching. Now, did they go get him specifically for that? I don't know. But if you're in a battle for first place, you go get a guy that you feel like knows how to hit the Braves, and that's apparently this guy, Justin Bour.
Well, again, we got a lot of games left with the Phillies, but one thing for certain, this is a true test tonight against Milwaukee, a team which if not to battle back against the Cubbies and win that division in the mix for the wild card. Let's hope, as you said earlier, that Kevin Gausman gives us a nice long – how about – call me crazy. Could somebody get to the eighth inning for once this year? I mean, I know we've had a complete game with the Bravos, but it would be something, wouldn't it, Carl?
It would be.
Just like an old-school box score, you know, maybe give me 7 2/3.
How about 8? Yeah, I agree. Hey, man, coming up, Jeff Sentell from Dog Nation talking about the Dogs. They have a big scrimmage tomorrow, their first scrimmage for Coach Kirby Smart. He's looking at a lot of different things. Jeff will lay out all of that on the show next. Let's talk to a man who's in the know, and he is Jeff Sentell. As he jumps on Dukes and Bell here, and we love talking with Jeff this time of year because I know you're getting excited, man. I mean, it's almost that time where the games matter. We can stop talking about recruiting and get down to what everybody cares about, and that is what this season's going to look like. Jeff, how you doing?
Hey, man, it's great. It's kind of my time of year. If I had a funny Ray Lewis dance I could bust out right now over the airwaves, I would. Finally, football season is here, fellas.
Well, let's talk about some of the names now. Obviously, there was a lot of written in Dog Nation the last couple of days about no one can just step in and replace Roquan Smith. We get that. But do you trust, as a guy covering the Dogs, you trust Nate Trez Patrick to keep his head on straight?
Yeah, but I mean, I think the main point there, guys, from a lot of the guys that cover the team on the beat is maybe the scope of what they were looking for there. There were so many plays Roquan made last year where he simply just erased mistakes. I mean, anybody that followed the Bulldogs last year can probably pull out three or four plays where if Roquan doesn't do something Roquan Smith-esque, the team gets another 2 or 3 yards and they get a crucial first down. It's that guy that can kind of be the glue or the eraser when everything goes wrong. I think what George is hoping is that they will get good play from guys like Juwan Taylor, Monty Rice, Natress Patrick. Good to great play, maybe even fringe, borderline all-SEC play from some of those guys. And then everybody else around them on the unit will get a lot better. Will the pass rush get better? Jonathan Ledbetter get better? Will Tyler Clark make that step into what a lot of people feel is first-team all-SEC capability? Will Georgia be faster and more athletic in the secondary, if not experienced? Those are the things. So maybe they don't have a 10 out of 10 there in Roquan in the middle. Maybe they can live with a 7.5 or an 8 as long as the other pieces around him get a lot better.
Jeff Sentell, Dog Nation, joining us here on Dukes and Bell. Let's shift gears from one side of the ball to the other, and that's the offensive line. We were just talking about this before you joined us and talking about the size of the O-line. How much more physical and nasty do you think this year's Georgia offensive line is going to be compared to what turned out to be a really good O-line last year?
Yeah, really good offensive line. If you want to sit there and look at how it compares to maybe one of the greater offensive lines in Georgia history, I think it's going to fare out pretty well. I think on DogNation.com, we crunched some numbers. We brought out our scientific calculators, maybe, if you guys can all remember that. And we looked at it, and the average offensive line weight from tackle to tackle last year was about 310, going to be up to about 322 now, depending on who maybe assumes and nails down that left guard spot. But the thing to really remember here is everyone is back off of that very solid to very good offensive line last year, except for Isaiah Wynn, who was a first-round pick by the Patriots. But what happens here is Georgia has moved its best overall offensive lineman, in my opinion, Andrew Thomas out of Pace Academy, from right tackle to left tackle. And you know, those NFL scouts that look at the Dogs are already kind of drooling over Andrew Thomas. Looks like to me an easy first-round pick in 2020. That's how much promise this guy has. And, I mean, he can probably scratch his ankles, man, from standing up. His arms are so long. But he's also a savvy and a very fundamentally sound player as well.
It's a dog report, guys, on a Thursday brought to you by our buddies at Brightbox Electrical. For dog fans, get the man cave to watch your team in style. And don't forget, guys, surge protection for all those nasty storms, 770-901-2500. Jeff Santel from Dog Nation joins us here on the WadeFort.com hotline. The running backs, it sounds like Zeus got the medical clearance. So how does that work out? Because there's so much focus on the quarterbacks. How's the running back rotation going to look?
Pretty sporty, guys. You look at that, and, you know, maybe the big head scratcher is like, how in the world can the Bulldogs improve off of a group which sent Sony Michel and Nick Chubb to the NFL with it within the first 35 picks? But there's a way they can do that, and that's at the bottom end by inserting two really incredible freshmen. A lot of these guys that do this recruiting stuff and that watch these players, they say that Zamir White is the greatest player since. And, I mean, that's a long measuring stick to go. I think the only names that would come up would be a guy like Adrian Peterson. Mm-hmm. He's about 6 feet tall, 6 foot one, about 220 pounds. He has been clocked at 10.5 in the 100-meter dash. James Cook, though, fellas, the younger brother of Dalvin Cook, the all-time leading rusher in Florida State history. He also chose Georgia. And everybody that was out there like me at the open practice on Saturday saw James Cook make a lot of plays where he put his foot in the ground, made a cut, and scooted across the field. Kind of got that rare gear. I mean, maybe just the burst he has on the playing field. First few steps are very exciting. Then you've got Elijah Holyfield, to me, a guy that might be the immediate up the guts, between the tackle type runner, maybe the most likely guy out of the box to get 20 carries a game for Georgia. But remember the name Zamir White. Maybe when all this stuff is done and all the games are played in December, folks might be talking about the young man nicknamed Zeus. Maybe some kids by Halloween will be dressing up as Zeus because they know about Zamir White by that number three on the Georgia football team.
Jeff, that's strong. Now, I got to tell you, I saw Adrian Peterson coming out of high school when he made the decision. And that is one hell of a compliment when you say he has that kind of skill set. If you're talking about Zamir White, it is impressive. But you know what? It just goes to show you, we said this, Georgia reloaded, and I don't know if these guys will be better, but certainly they're on par with the guys that left. It's Jeff Santel. Let's talk about, you know, Kirby and what he's looking for in this scrimmage, because he sounds like, you know, there's some things that are undetermined. What do you think that is undetermined in his mind?
Well, I think the main thing he was pointing at, you know, and Kirby Smart's in that Saban school. Sometimes he likes to use the media and that platform is a message to his team and also to his fans. And I think what he was looking for is these two big scrimmages come up this month, is he wants his quote-unquote dogs, his really alpha football players, to play like it, to play like their future first-round picks. And I think those are the guys that's going to have to elevate this roster back where it was, because they can say all they want about leadership ability. But they also need those guys that can make those wow plays that cause coaches to rewind back and forth the clicker when they get in the film room. They need DeAndre Baker to play like a first-round cornerback. They need guys on the defensive line to step up. Maybe the biggest hole on the roster right now is, at least on the defensive side of the ball, when you look at who's going to be Roquan Smith. That's a great question. The other question to think about there is who's going to fulfill that role sent by Big John Atkins. Everybody remembers that guy as like a umpteenth year senior out of Thompson High School. He wore that big junkyard dog chain around his neck. Well, who's that new guy in the trenches that are going to wear those chains for George? Is it going to be Julian Rochester out of McEachern High School? Is it going to be Daquan Hawkins Muckle? That defensive front, really, you're going to have to need a very effective nose guard type for Georgia in order to make those inside linebacker replacements for Roquan, make those guys fly free to the football and come downhill and make those plays everybody hopes to see in 2018.
It's Dog Report, as revisited by the AJC's Jeff Santel from Dog Nation. And again, the whole thing brought to our buddies at Brightbox, 770-901-2500. Jeff, last time we had you on about a month back, we were talking about the schedule. And obviously Austin Peay, and they won't show much in that game. But then, you know, South Carolina, and that's always a funky matchup. We always know about the weird history. But you feel the defense that you just talked about will be ready to go against a decent offense.
Yeah, I think the early games are very interesting, especially those SEC East road games. And you're right, Mike. Nobody's going to ever predict the governors of Austin Peay. File that one away. a high school team sort of sounding nickname right there in college football, the governors. But
But the one game I look to is that Missouri game. And simply because it's not maybe the real thing about Drew Lock and that new and maybe more talented, but definitely a lot less inexperienced secondary. That might be a reason why Kirby Smart's voice is so hoarse right now. But the thing to remember about Missouri is they've got, you know, when you looked at all those preseason polls by media members and preseason All-SEC teams, if you take Georgia out of the equation here, Missouri actually has more players showing up on those preseason All-SEC teams than the rest of the SEC East combined. So you combine that, young team, early road game, younger secondary, big-time senior quarterback in the SEC that's done it before. A lot of folks are going to wonder what that new Derek Dooley-led offense at Missouri is going to be capable of with perhaps, and as well as the stats say, the SEC's best returning passer in Drew Lock.
It is Jeff Centel here on Dukes and Bell as we talk about the Dogs, guys. Scrimmage on Saturday and lots to look ahead to. All right, we've not asked you, but everybody's talking about it, the quarterback situation. I mean, how do they fit Justin into the mix?
Oh, man, you guys are not asking about the punter and, you know, likely freshman to grab a starting spot at UGA this year. Not the punter. Oh, yeah, the quarterback situation. Well, I think, you know, I think the handwriting's on the wall. I don't even think the new redshirt rules in college football really mattered. Mm-hmm. You got to get Justin Fields ready to play. You got to have something prepared for him. I thought David Green had a very good point the other day on some of our coverage on Dog Nation where he kind of likened maybe Georgia might come up with something like the Chris Leak, Tim Tebow situation where those guys flip-flopped with just certain sets and certain looks, whether it's third and one or maybe it's red zone. Got to be really tricky there with that, but because I do think the players would really rather know when they're going to come in rather than a hot quarterback being pulled. Mm-hmm. I know everybody likes to think about Justin Fields and his tremendous talent in terms of the run game and how well he can do things as a dual threat. You also got to remember, look at those stats. Jake Fromm within the red zone, Jake Fromm leading Georgia in short yarded situations. Those were pretty sporty as well. But the main overriding theme, and I think it kind of falls back to what mattered for Georgia last year. Eason was the starter coming in, but they had to get the backup ready to play just in case. And I still think that's the case for Georgia with the quarterback depth chart, because everybody's got to remember, Georgia only has two scholarship quarterbacks on the roster. Now, that's a great problem to have. I've heard it referred to as a quarterback blessing, not a quarterback controversy. A lot of schools would like to swap places with Georgia right there. But the main thing is still Georgia only has two guys that have an SEC scholarship in the program at quarterback.
That's interesting, man. And by the way, you know, LSU, we're going to find out what their quarterback situation is going to look like the next couple of weeks. Is that the game that scares you the most? I know you just mentioned Mizzou, but we've argued, Jeff, that because of the Wisconsin scenario last year, Georgia, with a real weak strength of schedule, can't afford to lose any game.
Yeah, that's a great point. And I actually talked to one of my good buddies that knows that Joe Burrow guy pretty well, that's seen his career a lot, a fellow scribe, if you will. They expect Joe Burrow to kind of play like a rich man's Greg McElroy, maybe, in that LSU offense. He's going to do a lot of the things that maybe Jake Fromm did for Georgia last year as well. He's athletic. He can run a little bit, but he's going to make the right throw. He's going to throw the ball to his receivers where they can make a play and not have to stretch out for it and get tackled. Joe Burrow is going to be a pretty steady influence on the LSU offense. And listen, guys, that's what the Tigers have always needed for the last four or five seasons now.
Jeff, it's always good to have you on, man. Good stuff. We'll look forward to talking to you down the road and curious to see what happens after this first scrimmage. Thanks again, Jeff.
Hey, guys, thank you. We'll talk about that punter next time. Thanks, guys.
Some good intel from our man, Jeff Centel. We got some NFL blitz, including what's up with the Falcons tonight against the Jets and a devastating injury in the NFC East. We'll explain.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.